Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
It's time for us to move on to our grow model, how we can help you grow. And we do have the pastor standing by, who is going to be answering a few questions today on leading by example. Yay! You know what we're talking about, idea of leading by example as parents? I think it's a setup. How do you lead by example if you don't know how to? It's like somebody says, show me the way, and you don't know the way. I mean, parents have no manual of how to parent, and yet we're expected to demonstrate some things we don't know. Maybe that's why we have a pastor to join us to help us understand what we're talking about here. So if you have a child, even if they're such a biological child, if you live with a child around you, know this. Children learn more from what they see than what they are told. You can be this cool uncle or cool aunt that smokes, and then you say to your child, no smoking, or you say no drinking. It doesn't change the fact that if you're smoking in front of them, you're teaching them more than what you're saying. Anyways, that's what we need to talk about today, leading by example with Pastor Lizu Chinyama. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Brother Nye, and good afternoon, all listeners around the globe.
Let's talk about this idea of leading by example, Mfundisi. This idea is a very noble one. It's a very well thought through one, but I'm not quite sure if we can. Let's talk about, before we even get to the questions that we need to deal with, is it practical for parents to be able to lead by example? I mean, there are things that parents are allowed to do that children are not allowed to do. Surely children cannot compare themselves and look at what parents are doing and think, I can do it. If my parents are doing it, I may as well do it. For example, the issue of sex. Parents are allowed to have sex. They are married. They are a couple. Surely you cannot say, because mommy and daddy are having sex, I may as well follow their example. So this idea of leading by example, how do we correctly apply it? Before we get into the issue, how do we correctly apply the idea of leading by example?
All right. Thank you so much. Number one, I'm glad you laid on the foundation to say children, kids, or teenagers are a group of beings that learn more through their visionary sight, through what they see, and more than what we tell them. And so what we do gives them a greater lesson. And so number one point on how we can lead our children by example is doing that.
All right, I think our line
to also acceptable. And also acceptable before God. So we are doing something.
Pastor, I don't know if Pastor Lizu, I don't know if you're able to move closer to your Wi-Fi, perhaps, or whatever, or place where your network will not be interrupted, because it keeps getting interrupted and we can't hear or make out what you're saying.
Okay, am I there? Am I back now?
You know, you're back. It's just that you sometimes you dip in and out, and once you dip out, we can't hear what you had said. But continue, Mfundis. Go ahead.
Okay, I've tried to make some slight move. I hope this is a bit better.
Yes, go ahead, Mfundis.
So leading by example, we are supposed to be able to discern and choose to do that which is right before the Lord, and also that which is acceptable by tradition before mankind, regardless of whatever culture, whatever tradition, whatever class of people we may be. So by leading by example is first knowing that which we are leading. Is it okay, you know, before God? Is it okay before man. So like to the point where you ask to say, how can we model, you know, respect in, you know, our children, in our everyday interactions? Was that the question that you asked?
Yes, Mfundis. I was asking if we are able to practically interpolate from the phrase that says lead by example. Is that a realistic phrase? Because it implies children are going to look at what we do and they do what we are doing. And yet there are things as parents that we can do. And I gave the example as of sex, that parents are able to have sex because they are married, they are together, they're in a committed permanent relationship. Children, on the other hand, are not. And as such, they cannot learn that example. They cannot follow that example. And hence my question, is the idea of leading by example a practical idea or an idealistic idea?
Okay. So in one sentence, yes, leading by example is practical. As long as, dear parents, we show our children that what we are leading by example is applicable for our age, and also leading by example by showing them what is also applicable okay. and acceptable for okay. their age.
Okay, I yeah. hear you. All right. Yeah. Forgive me, Pastor. I digressed there a bit. Let's get into our conversation for today. Let's talk about the ideas of kindness, patience, and respect. These are things that we need to teach our children. We can't just tell them, have kindness, be patient, and be respectful. We need to demonstrate this by, our leadership must demonstrate it. So how can parents model kindness, patience, and respect in everyday interactions?
All right. Right. Good thought there. Parents can model kindness, peace, and patience, and all other good traits by, number one, being kind themselves, being patient themselves, being peaceful themselves. And when you look at these words and other good words that we can add there, we realize that all these fall in a class, in a sequence of what we refer to as the, you can find them in Galatians 5 verse 22. So if you want somebody to be kind, for example, even on the road you are driving, you've yeah, it's, you know, an amber, and there are some officers ahead, they stop you. You don't expect kindness from them if you come out unkind to them. So we can see kindness in our children by coming out kind to them and being patient with them and being peaceful. And that is only achievable, not by might, not by our wisdom, our education, degree, diploma, no, but by the Spirit of God. And the other way we can also model kindness in our children, in our everyday interactions, is by making the home the most attractive place. I mean, dear friend, dear parent, let home be a place where the child wants to run to after they knock off, not they want to tarry a bit, have some biscuits with their friends, so that they don't spend much time home. So let the home environment be a shallow heaven on earth. Here where we are, so that the children get their fame, but gentle discipline, loving words, and also wise interaction. So fathers and mothers out there, you can show this by being loving to one another. Guardians, love each other, and the children will see, and we will model the kindness in them.
All right, let me see if I can play. There's a voice note that came through, Mfundis. I'm hoping I'll be able to play it, and I'm hoping you'll be able to hear it.
Hey Naya, quite an interesting take. Apologies that okay. I've got some background noise. I'm on the road. When you talk examples, I think we can. I think it's all a matter of perhaps the sphere. So we can be leaders or example setters in the sphere that we have. Not in its entirety to say be an example on how to get to heaven. I mean, you might say, I don't know the way, but you have been shown the way, is it not? I mean, Christ did say. So follow that. I mean, you spoke about this a couple of weeks back regarding the example of Paul, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that the imitation is limited to that bearing which involves Christ in it. And so I think coming to parenthood, I think it is still the same. I'll take, for example, the analogy you gave, the issue of sex, right? To say, How do you say that's an example kids can follow? In fact, that is exactly the example. And I love how you even gave the parameters. They're allowed to have it because they've got certain parameters which they qualify to have it in. And so that's the example that they're setting for their children. My children, please have sex, but within these parameters. And if you don't qualify or are fitting to be in these parameters, then you can't say, I want to follow the example because the setting is not the same.
Right.
So I think for me, the call is like, you know, it's like that be perfect, right?
Say
it's not perfection in its entirety, but in our sphere, we ought to be perfect as God is perfect in his sphere. So I think that's a call for me. You ought to be an example. Don't lead by verbal instruction, but lead rather by
890,900.
Apologies for that. But lead rather by demonstration beyond just words and instructions. You can't say follow parameters and then you are the one who breaks parameters in your own behavior and in your own conduct. It then defeats the purpose. So I think that's the example in modeling conduct as far as I hear the injunction.
All right, I hear you. Thank you very much. Pastor, did you hear the voice note?
No, I didn't. Maybe you just interpreted or summarized the
thoughts there. Okay. Oh, no. You missed out on a lot there. He made a couple of interesting points there. He's addressing, I think, three things I'll bring to your attention. The first thing is that we ought to be examples. And that idea of being an example is not abrogated by the fact that there are things that we don't know. He was suggesting that if we have been told how to do things in Scripture, we need to exemplify those things and not hide behind the fact that I don't have a manual of parenting, therefore I cannot exemplify it. So the second point he was making, I think I heard him, was how Christ and Paul were living, breathing examples, and therefore they did not just teach by word, but also in deed. And he quoted Paul, who had said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul had said. And thirdly, he was suggesting that even with the example I made of parents who have the right to have sex because they're within the confines of holy matrimony, and I was asking, surely that can't be an example children should follow because parents are married and children are not. Children, therefore, cannot have sex because they are not married. And his third point was, actually, that's exactly the example they should follow. And I was laughing at him saying, you must tell your children, kids, please have sex. But within the confines of marriage. So the example is we are having sex because we are within the confines of marriage. So we must encourage our children to go ahead and have sex. But first, they must be certain that they are doing it within the confines of sex. Those are the three points that I think I can bring to your attention for now. He made a thing about four or five points there. Go ahead, Mfundisi, so you can respond.
Nope. Just because it's a sign that we have an audience that is listening. This is why I said let children know what's applicable to them and for their age and they will be able to follow.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we were still talking about the point of modeling kindness, right?
Yes. Go ahead on this. But I think you just answered that one. I then was going to ask the next one. Before I ask my next question, this voice note came in. The next question I need you to just clarify us on is the idea of self-care. I personally have problems with it, but that's a conversation you and I could have on another day. But the question is, why is self-care important for parents who want to set a good example? And again, that is open to your interpretation. What that self-care means, it's open to your interpretation. How I interpret it is what gives me problems, and we can have that on another day. So why is self-care important for parents who want to set a good example?
Okay, so I usually love to attach every answer I give to scripture. And on self-care, the interpretation there is the self-preservation. You know, you are guarding yourself jealously. And the Lord in Revelation 2 verse 25 says, hold fast to that which you have, you know, until I come, because that which you have is that which will take care of you and that will keep you firm and keep you from falling. So self-care is parental self-preservation. We protect ourselves from diseases out there. We protect ourselves from all harm and danger by getting home on time, not because we are parents and so we can come at midnight. My brother, my sister, you will find the criminals along the way. They will get rid of you because they don't care whether you worship or not. That's not written, right, you know, right, on you. So self-care is you choose the rightful food to eat, not according to tradition, but according to what the word of God says.
Right.
And so why is self-care very, very important for parents who want to set a good example? Mm. Because these parents realize and understand the great responsibility that comes with parenthood. Now, parents knowing how to parent, but we become parents and we are all first time, we all become first time parents. So there's that learning first. And so we remain aligned to God so that He can show us the examples. We may have some reference to how we were parented when we were young, but we should understand that the fact that we are parents, the sacred responsibility of self-care, self-wisdom, according to the change in technology, change in era, and also the moral scarcity, we are supposed to realize there lies a great responsibility. Then the other point I can bring out again, dear listeners, is self-care. Stand in the place of God to their children. So just the way Christ stands for you and I before God the Father, so we stand before God to our children. And so what our children will become, God says we will be answerable. I gave an example of Eli. Mm. He died because he failed to make mention, to respond to God, how he took care of Hophni and Phinehas, and they brought the hell to him, and that is how he went. So self-care is important to parents so that children will see and will strive to live the way we are living.
And then there are situations, Mfundis, that we also need to know how to model correctly. And I don't know here if it is practical, because when stresses come, I don't know if there is a way of preventing stress from impacting you. It's one thing to say you must be able to handle stress and respond properly to stress and challenges and the vicissitudes of life. It's another when they impact you. The frustration and the, well, I must say, sometimes the depression that follows when life hits you. Let's talk about that, Mfundis. How do parents' responses to stress and challenges influence their children's behaviors?
All right. You know, in this world where we are living in, we understand and know pretty well that we are not in heaven, where there is no stress, where there is no challenge, where there are no issues. So since we are on earth, challenges are inevitable. This is why even the time when Jesus was born, the parents were already stressed on which way they will take so that their child is not harmed, their child is not killed. Even them, they are not brought to book. Talk about Jochebed and Amram, the parents to the man, the servant of God, Moses, who led Israel out of Egypt. The parents to Moses were stressed and they were affected by this challenge of we don't want any male child from this age to this particular age. And so challenges are inevitable and they are part of life. Challenges don't mean the absence of money. You can have all the money in dollar, in euro, in pound, or whatever the highest currency, you know, in the world currency list is. But stresses and challenges can be beyond material possession. So how now, dear brothers and sisters, can we by realizing that there is a God. If there is a God, then we didn't come from nowhere. We came from the hand and the mind of this God. So what are we going to do? We are going to be calm. We are going to be at peace. We are going to sleep and we are stressed and there are challenges. The scripture says that somewhere that the disciples woke him up, and when he rose, he spoke to the wind and everything that stressed Peter, James, John, and all the other brothers, and he said, "Peace be still." So if Jesus is sleeping, please be calm, but go to him, wake him up, and tell him, "Look, Messiah, I am stressed," and he will make you calm, and he will be with you in the challenge. It's either he will remove the challenge or he will make you. As we are with children, let us not show them that, "Well, my dear son, my dear daughter, look, life is all rosy, everything is okay, I've got money throughout," and so it will always be like that. No, sometimes there's no money in the house, but we should call our children together, make them realize that in life there are hurdles and there are chases. You know, in this horse riding game or sport, there are some events where they make the horses jump through the hurdles and chases, and some are longer, some are shorter. So let the children know that mommy and daddy will go through these times. And so let us show them not to be rebellious, not to steal, not to misbehave, because mommy and daddy don't have, you know, the money for the school trip now. Let them realize that indeed, if the money for this is not there, we can just remain calm. Next time, something will come up. So we can respond by just being calm and depending upon Christ while we do our part as parents.
So the unpleasant truth, Mfundisi, is that parents do make mistakes. And while we can make mistakes in private and secret without our children knowing, there are some mistakes we make right there in the full view of our children. And our children realize that daddy just messed up, or mommy is messing up right now. So those mess ups sometimes do happen in front of our children. And the question is, what are effective ways to demonstrate accountability when parents make mistakes?
Okay. All right. Previous question. Mistakes are bound to be committed by somebody who is trying. The only person who doesn't make a mistake is somebody who never tries. So as long as you and I try, we try this farming venture, we try this business, we try investing in this, and then we see it doesn't work out, then we will classify that as a mistake, meaning a mistake is an error that is done by somebody who tries to do something. So parents are not exempted from making mistakes, even if they have started having gray hair. And nowadays, gray hair comes even at an early age, by 35, 40. Somebody already is still active, but they have gray hair. So parents are just big children in the sight of God. And kids are just small children in the sight of their parents and in the sight of God. So accountability issues. Number one, acknowledge the wrong that has been done, dear brother, dear sister, fellow parent out there. The number one way to arrive to a solution is to know the problem. So acknowledge the wrong, so that if apologies have been made, if it's a child out of, you know, extramarital affair, the wrong is not repeated. Or if it's the misappropriation of funds that were meant for something without letting you know your wife, your husband, acknowledge the wrong. Go before your wife, go before your husband, go before your children, sit them down. Yes, you may be filled with some pride and say, "But why do I have to say sorry for this? No, after all, I'm the parent." No, acknowledge the wrong so that it does not repeat itself. So the point number one to a solution is acknowledgement. Number two, realize and recognize that it's only God, our creator and our maker, who makes no mistakes. Because according to Numbers 23, verse 19, he is not a man that he should lie, neither son of man that he should, son of mortal man that he should make mistakes. So we realize that there is a God who makes no mistakes, but we are mortal men who make mistakes. We ask God to realign us to what he wants us to do. And David did that several times. This is why he prayed, "Oh, Master, oh my God, I am at it again. Well, the devil has, you know, lured me again, but created me a clean heart, renew a contrite mind in me." So realize that it's only God who makes no mistakes. When you make a mistake, don't go anywhere, because there's nowhere else you will go. You will just end up in issues of abuse, violence, murder. So just realize that to God alone, he can realign you. And then lastly, we can talk about looking to Christ as the great problem fixer. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So we have this strength that comes to pick up all the broken pieces, because this strength has been made perfect in us, in our weakness, because God is in charge. So be able to acknowledge the wrong, and you will find a solution. Realize that only God makes no mistakes. And lastly, look up to Christ to be the problem fixer. Do your part and know that His grace will come. No matter how many times you err, His grace will come, even double the problems you have made. That's what I can speak there.
And finally, Mfundisi, I think we've overrun our time, but I'm just asking this and you can answer it briefly. How can parents encourage lifelong learning and curiosity by leading the way?
Okay. All right. By realizing, dear parents, realize that the home is the first school that your child will ever go to. And so because your child is in the first school, so expose them to what is known as true education. What is true education? It's education that is holistic. Teach the child the right use of one's self, you know, by making use of their brain, their body. Parent, remember that you are accountable to God. Your child, remind them that they are accountable to you and accountable to God. But above all, introduce them to a holistic education. Give them the education of oneself, training their brain, their body, and their heart. That will live with them even when you and I as parents will not be there.
All right. I think I'm going to leave it right there on that note. Mfundisi, thank you ever so much for your time and your insights. It is always interesting to learn these things, and on a different platform, perhaps at a different show, I'd be asking you, then do we have any biblical basis for all of this, or are we just using our psychological expertise? That would be a different program, a different platform, perhaps even a different show. But for this show, I want to thank you ever so much for your time, Mfundisi. I want to thank you for your insights. Have a wonderful day further.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.